Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
You know, Pastor Roo mentioned it earlier before. There's just something about this house today, something that God is doing. And I'm going to get into my message in a few moments, but how good was it seeing Pastor Sarah Kerwell worship leader? Guys, put your hands together. You know, many of you have joined in this last year, but Pastor Sonia and I have gone on a journey with Sarah. Started off as a Bernard, became a Kerwell, now a mum to beautiful little Reuben, and she's been our worship leader alongside Hayden since we launched 5 years ago. And I was just sharing with her before, what we see in that space when we worship, it's not hype. We don't rehearse a moment. We position for encounter. And I was sharing with Sarah before when I said that I was going to publicly name and shame her. We're not shaming anyone, so if you're new, don't freak out. We're not about that here. But the culture, a great leader doesn't always have to be at the front. A great leader's influence is through discipleship and the culture of who is on the front, because we worship Jesus. See, this is God's church. He aligns his body, but he positions men and women to empower generations and other people. And so I shared with Sarah this last year, her and Hayden have embarked on their most important ministry, which is parenthood. How many of us know serving on team is not the most important ministry? Our most important ministry first is between us and God, and then our families. And so she's taken that year off and has come back today. And like I told her, there is no catching up, because the culture of this house for 5 years since we've launched, Hayden and Sarah have been sowing into that culture. So it's stepping into the fruit of what was prayed for. But it's interesting, because during that time as well, it's beautiful to see Mum and Dad here. David and Sharon, it's so good to see you. The Lord put a word on my heart for both of you. That what you see, it's almost like one of our values as a church is honor affirms value. And I felt the Holy Spirit put in my heart to honor both of you. Because what you see in the grace, it's not in the gift, but it's in the character. And the character comes from Mum and Dad. And I felt what the Holy Spirit say was that this is a fruit of your toil, your sacrifice, your prayers. Those moments when you see, and I was going to say little Sammy there, but he's not little anymore. He's deeper than me and pretty much taller than me. I still reckon I can beat him at basketball though. Anyway, we'll leave that for another time. I saw a ball there before. Jokes, I can't move. But what a beautiful thing to see your children leading a generation in worship. And the Lord is saying that he's not finished with the both of you. You're both amazing parents. And now that your children are pretty much all adults, God is going to bring a generation of orphans. You've got a father and mother's heart. You love well. The best days are not behind, they're ahead. Where you're planted, God is going to bring people that need that guidance. Those gifts of teaching that you've carried, you know, they weren't for a season when you've taught, or even now as you teach, but they're also, I get this beautiful picture almost of like coming alongside and mentoring, not just teaching from a pulpit, not just teaching from a classroom, but walking alongside young spiritual orphan children that have never had anyone to mentor them. God is going to enable you to raise even more generations of worship leaders, preachers, teachers, pastors, apostles, prophets. And so we just want to honor you. Can we honor, please, David and Sharon and Sarah and Hayden? It's such a beautiful thing. I'm very excited today because my parents are back. They've been away for the last 5 weeks. Ironically, Mum goes away and I get pneumonia. I've missed her chicken soups and lemonade. No hints, Mum. But you know, this is a season of reflecting. I'm not preaching a New Year's Eve message today, but we're about to go into a season where we're all going to go into holidays and rest. And two things that I love to do every year is reflect on what has been and pray into what will be. You know, what God has done this year is nothing short of remarkable. You know, yesterday, we've been running Alpha now since October. And yesterday we had the prayer and Holy Spirit impartation moment and hearing great testimonies. And in a few weeks, I'm going to invite Jane to come and share more into that. But what I love about things like Alpha is that that's what the gospel is about. Jesus didn't come just to preach. Jesus came and did life with people around the table, had conversations, answered difficult questions, and did life, right? But out of that, the beauty is relationships are formed and God moves. You know, yesterday night, unfortunately, we weren't able to be there because as you can hear, I'm still trying to literally find my voice again. God gave me a voice spiritually, but I sound like I'm 13 again. Last night, we honoured our students. This year, we ran the Newman School of the Spirit. And look, we can argue that I'm biased, but I believe we've got the best student. And I don't know where she's got. There she's at the back. Kim, come on up, Kim. Come on down. Yeah, let's be upstanding. Let's honour. Honor where honor is due. I'm not going to put you on the spot, Kim. This year, you may take your seats. This year, out of obedience, Kim laid down a whole full-time job to be one of our inaugural School of the Spirit students. And every Friday, she's here with that smile on her face. Every Friday she comes and serves. But the most important thing about, from our perspective, is just the incredible woman of God that you've grown into. You know, I remember when I first met Kim 5 years ago, the first word that God gave me for her was that she's an anchor to her family. And anchors aren't the prettiest things, right? But how many of us know, and by pretty, you're a very beautiful woman, I'm not talking about that. But as in like the role of an anchor is not a pretty thing because it holds the ship. So when the storms come, that ship still stays where it is. Without an anchor, the boats will just go everywhere. People will drown and be lost. But for her family, she has been an anchor. For this church, she is an anchor. What God has done in her life, she now oversees our Connections ministry. You got to understand that that's probably, with ushering, I would argue, that ushering and Connections are our two most important ministries. Why? Because they're the very first people that you see when you walk through those doors. Yeah? Clap in a moment, it's a bit awkward that we clap on up. But I just want to honor the woman of God that you are. We are so proud of you. See, there's this misconception in church, and I don't know why pastors get all the accolades, but without the body of Christ, without Jesus first, and without his body, we can do nothing. And God brings people, each and every one of us, right, to play a part. And I'm just so proud of you. We wouldn't be who we are without you. The culture that you carry, I see it with your brother now in worship. I see what God is doing in your family. And I've shared this with you privately, I share it with you publicly. All those days of toil, the fruit of those prayers, the fruit of that toil, like Becky said it before corporately, I mean that specifically, 2024. It's going to be a year where God is, it's almost like an ease. Where that anchor has been tensioned, it's now going to be an ease. And all those things you've prayed for, God is going to just bring into your life. And all the people you've prayed for, you're going to see them up here. So we just want to honor you and we're just going to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for Kim. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you send, you build your body, not us. And you send us the very best, Lord. I thank you for Kim. I thank you for all the sacrifice that none of us would know. Because we see her smiling on a Sunday, but we don't know what it was like to have to lay it down to sacrifice for you. You see it though, Lord. So I pray blessings over her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may take your seat. Kimmy, I'm going to keep you up there. And just, I'm going to keep the music going for a little bit more. So then that leads into 2024. What does that look like for us? How can we draw closer to God? That's always my prayer. I never want to think that I've got it figured out as a pastor, because the moment that I think I've got it figured out, I am miles away from what God is doing. You know, and for me personally, don't worry, this isn't like a resigning message. People are going to be like, I'm about to announce something big here. I'm going to the Bahamas. No. For me, one thing that God's put in my heart personally is to know people better. And so I've this year done the crazy thing. If I wasn't busy enough, I'm almost halfway into a Master of Counseling degree. Not because I want a vocation change, but I want to be able to understand people's perspectives better. Because when you understand someone's perspective, see, when you see what Jesus did, Jesus didn't direct. Jesus came and saw people where they're at, heard their stories, understood their context, then brought freedom. And so it's a massive investment and sacrifice. What does it look like for you? It might be Pneuma School of the Spirit next year. I'm pleased to announce that next year, vet fee help is available. If an obstacle has been paying for it, there's one less obstacle. We don't have the market share on how to do things, but what the school does is empowers us and teaches us how to draw closer. For you, it might be in your workplace. It might be speaking to that colleague you've worked with for 15 years. It might be joining a life group. You've been with us for 3, 4, 5 years or a year. Maybe it's time. Or maybe it's as simple as just picking up your Bible for the first time in a long time and reading the Word of God. Whatever it is, whether it be individually, whether it be corporately, let us press into God and let Him guide us and lead us, because He has never called us just to stop where we are. And so we're just going to pray for the Word, Lord. I just thank You, God, that what You've put into my heart today, Lord, is for me first and then for us. I pray open hearts, open minds. Lord, we leave apathy at the door. We leave the expectation for someone else at the door, but we have open hearts, open minds to what You want to speak today, Lord. So minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Awesome team. You guys can go and have a seat. Let's put our hands together again for these champions. I better get into the Word quick because I hear that KFC is on the way, and so the Colonel can entice people very, very quickly, so we better get into it. But, you know, for those who were here last week, you would have heard me preach on a word called He Sees You. And the heart behind that is that Jesus sees you where you are. He calls you as you are, but He doesn't call you by your sin, but by grace, what Levi shared. It was a story of Nathanael, one of the guys who had become a disciple, who had actually talked bad about Jesus. Philip had come and said, "Follow me." And Nathanael was like, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like, really, those guys?" Insert a stereotype that you know. Can it really be like, there's anything good? People for some reason think in the West we're the crime capital of the world. I don't know why, but I guess they haven't been to some parts of the world that we've been to. And we make assumptions. But yet when Jesus saw Nathanael, He didn't call him by what he thought or his doubts. He actually called him, "Here's a man in whom there's no deceit." And Nathanael was like, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you under the tree, I saw you." So long before you had an option to respond, I saw you and I saw the good in you. Long before you walked through these doors, God has seen you, not for what you've done, but by who you are. You know, someone, I can't remember who in the service mentioned it, but used John 1:1, the Word of God at the very beginning, the very Word of God. You being spoken into existence came from the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who called in Nathanael the goodness in Him. So whatever you think you're not, Jesus says you are. "I'm not worthy." Yes, you are. You know, and then this Sunday was meant to be a little bit of a break in preaching. We meant to have Pastor Layla join us, and we've got to just keep her family in prayer, just a few things in her family that she needed to attend to, and she'll come later in the track. But it's interesting because even the way I prepared for today, and I don't usually share this, I felt the Lord say share it though, because it just shows how different He works. Usually I set aside time every Tuesday to just pray into what God wants to speak whenever, wherever. We hadn't heard from Layla yet. And I felt the Lord just take me to Psalm 23. That's not our verse today, but Psalm 23, where He talks about how He leads us by still waters. He makes us lie on green pastures. I felt the Lord say, "That couch, lie down." And I'm like, "No, but I've got to do your research. I've got to research the Word, God. Lie down and be still." Funny enough, I fell asleep. But it was during that time, this word that I'm about to preach was downloaded. I'm like, "Lord," now I'm like, "Can You do that every time? Because sometimes it can take weeks." And so I've titled my message today, "Born to be Alive." See, even within that, right, like God doesn't expect us to always be doing. The Bible says He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. If rest is good for God, it's good for you. I think that's a freeing word for some of our workaholics in here and our churchaholics in here. But "Born to be Alive," not a cheesy 70s song or 80s song. We're not going to get all retro and disco. I'm not putting on my flares today. But see, God, in sending Jesus to die for us, was for us to be born to be alive. But many of us just exist and live. We sit and we watch life go by. We receive the changing power of God in our lives. And rather than actually proceed to follow Jesus, we just stop and are comfortable and watch life go by. But that was never God's intention for us. His intention for us was to come alive. And so as he downloaded the word in season, the scripture that he put on my heart was Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. If you don't have a Bible with you here today, it will appear on the screen behind me. And if I slow down and pause, it's not because I'm forgetting what I'm saying. Just holding in the cough. The pneumonia's gone. The lungs are clear. Everything's fine, but my lungs are getting starting to find their feet again. Not that they have feet, but anyway. Ezekiel 37. I know, I could hear you going, wow, the dad jokes are back. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel speaking, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. Is it possible to turn the air con a bit? I'm starting to sweat a little bit here. I don't think that's the fire of the Lord. It's definitely not a fragrance of heaven, I can assure you. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, just visually speaking, like seeing something like this, a vision like this would be something like, you can't make this stuff up in the dream. It'd be intense, like to fully see these bones scattered, come together, an empty valley of lifeless bones brought back to life. I can't imagine what it would have been like for Ezekiel seeing this in a vision. But let's unpack the takeaways and what it applies, what it means to us today. See, the very first thing that stands out for me is that everything is possible in the power of the Spirit. See, notice that Ezekiel was out in the power of the Spirit. The touch of God was never meant to be something contentious. The touch of God and the encounter of how people experience God was never meant to be the deterrent of whether I walk into a church or not. For some, what it looks like is, yes, they fall out in the power of the Spirit. For others, it doesn't look that way. But the beautiful thing is that God is not one-dimensional. How I love my son is not the same necessary way that I love my daughter. Why? Because they're wired different. Their response is different. We often limit God into a one model, and so it hasn't happened for me like that, therefore God's not in it. And I share that to set some people free, because I know for me, one of the biggest things that would bring fear to me was seeing people slain in the Spirit. For those that are new, what he's slain is they encounter God and they fall to the ground. For Ezekiel, that's what happened here. In Ezekiel's case, it was almost like he was in like a trance-like state, a dream. You know, Acts 1:8 talks about that when you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jeremiah 1:9 called to be a prophet to the nations. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. The point of a touch of heaven is not for our own manifestation, but for his glory. Power is not there to be abused, but to be received and used by God. Too many times we say, thank you, God, for the power, and I take it, and we go. That comes from not understanding sonship. Because to receive the touch of the Lord, you need proximity. Not tradition, not religion, just intimacy. You know, imagine, right, like, with my car, some may argue that my driving style might think that my i30 is a rally car. And I always say Sonia's wrong, but you know, we have our own car, we thrash it. But let's just say someone comes, gives you a Ferrari, right? You're going to be driving like, you know, a little old lady or little old man in the 80s very slow because you don't want to damage that thing. And yet God entrusts us with his power, which is like that Ferrari. We use it and abuse it, and then we confuse it. And then people get hurt. Never God's intention. I hadn't had that in my notes, but it's just a bit of a side one. So who can receive a touch of the Lord? Well, the reality is all of us. And in this case, the Spirit caused Ezekiel to see a vision. He was taken to this valley. The Faith Study Bible in their commentary says that this scene resembles a long-forgotten battlefield where two armies fought and died with no one left to bury them. Left out in the sun, these bones were bleached, dried, and abandoned. And so Ezekiel walked around this place, a place where there was once life, but long gone. Not too dissimilar to where we are today. You know, in our generation, there are dry bones all around us. In our world, you see the brokenness of humanity and how further away it goes because these bones have no life. In our community, why we do things like the Christmas gift giving is because there are lifeless bones that no one even bats an eyelid to, but yet God has partnered us with them to bring life to them. Not, we don't give the life, we introduce the life giver. In our families, there are people that are yet to know Jesus in their family. And even in our churches, there are people that just come and for years have come and are lifeless inside. You know, if I was to come around, and I won't, but I invite you to ponder on this question and come and see me because I'm not a teacher and I'm not just a pastor at the front. I love to know the people that come in our church. And I was to ask you, why do I come to church? Why do you come to church? What would your response be? Is it for his glory or for your conscience? Is it for his honor and worship or for your obligation? Is it for relationship? Or is it for, this is just what we've always done? There's no judgment and condemnation in that because you're here. But my heart is, by the end of today, you'll never be the same again. See, too many of us sit idly from afar and say, God, you changed that. And Ezekiel could have done that. But Ezekiel was able to survey what was around him. You need to know when you're praying for, you need to actually be in that space to understand what it is that I'm praying for. If I'm praying for that lost person to encounter Jesus, what does that look like in your life? You know, in the days when I didn't believe in Jesus, the people that would be telling me about Jesus reflected nothing or no one like Jesus. The amount of times, the judgment, the condemnation that I will get, if that's what God is like, forget it. I'm not coming to your church. For Ezekiel, he needed to see the lifeless bones in order to understand what God meant when he asked him the following question, which is, son, can these bones live? God asked Ezekiel. What if Ezekiel said no? Hey, Zeke, we'll give him a little nickname, little Zeke. Can these bones live? Nah, no chance. I reckon that's the end of the story right there. I love the way that commentator John Taylor puts it. The way in which the question is couched, can these bones live? Coupled with the description of them as very dry, meaning dead long since, indicates the obvious answer is no. However, the fact that the answer comes from God, the God who kills and makes alive, is enough to make Ezekiel guarded about his answer. He had the knowledge not to deny God's ability, but he lacked the faith to believe in it. How many of us fit in that box? I've heard of the testimonies. I see Vince every week and I've seen that he had 4 months to live, now he's cancer free, but I just don't know if I can believe it for myself. That's pretty much where Ezekiel was at. But yet God invites the input. From the beginning of time, God has invited input. Adam, what do you think we should call those animals? Hippopotamus. Gee, that's a pretty random name, but that's what you call it. Hippopotamus it shall be. I find that's the same sometimes with kids' names. But anyway, we won't go there. My question for you, church, can these bones live? in your world, your very being, can you live once again like that time when you first received Jesus? Now I'm speaking to the ones that have received Jesus. When you were there crying out, God, I cannot live without you. Can you live again? For some, 30 years ago, that decision was made. But for the last 28, you've just come every Sunday and felt like this. Can you live again? No more going through the motions, but can you surrender to God again? My heart breaks every week when I see apathetic Christians that come with a heart, entertain me. God didn't send his son to die for you to be entertained, but that you would have life. Hear the conviction in my heart, church. This is what the gospel is about. Can your marriage live again? We've been, it's like I'm living with, this is not me speaking personally, but otherwise Sonia will come in. Feels like I've been living with a roommate. He's not the person that I married. She's not the person I once married. And they're thinking the same thing. Can your marriage live again? Can your relationship with your kids live again? Can the person that is too far gone live again? See, how you answer that question determines your attitude, determines your posture, and determines your response. If you answer yes, then Lord, I will cry out and I will be the vessel, but I will pray for them. If the answer is no, oh man, this preacher's too intense for me today. Ezekiel handball, and I love the way Ezekiel answers because he does the good old-fashioned handball. He handballs it back to God. You know, sometimes out of fear of trusting, we can hold back. Not like Ezekiel, we could just say no, no, no. No, no, Ru's the prophet of West, let him do it. No, 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 no. Sarah's the worship leader, no, 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 no. And for Ezekiel, his answer was like, you know, in those moments where we don't know, it's okay to defer back to the Holy Spirit. It's okay to go back, God, I don't know, but you know, right? Because the Spirit's response to Ezekiel's answer shows the very nature of God. How? He's not the one to just do everything for us, but he invites, he gives the opportunity for faith and obedience. Notice how in verse 4-6, he actually doesn't answer Ezekiel. You know, he doesn't go, you're right, I know, they're going to live, son. He doesn't. He instructs Ezekiel, prophesy. Not even, hey, see what happened, prophesy. He instructs him to prophesy over the bones. Why? Because back to Acts 1:8, that when you receive the Spirit, you shall the power will come upon you and you shall be witnesses. He invites us to partner with him to be witnesses. To witness what? The redemption and the restoration of a broken generation. The very dead things in our world come back to life and have purpose. The very signs and wonders that we see for his glory. Dead things come alive under the word of God. And yet he has given us the authority to prophesy. Why? Well, the answer is in verse 6. What's the point of the power of the Holy Spirit and his signs and wonders? Well, in verse 6, it says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. It's not for my ministry. It's not for my Instagram likes. It's not for your Instagram likes. It's not for your credibility, but it's that everyone will know that if God can use someone like me and that to show you that he loves you, what can he do through you? It's for his glory. You know, he talks here how he will breathe. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you. The word breath in the Hebrew is ruah, in the Greek. Pneuma, the P silent. Our church called Pneuma. The power is not in the church. The power is in the name. The power in who he is, the very breath, the very wind, the very spirit of God. So when God is telling Ezekiel, prophesy, he's not saying build your ministry. He's saying prophesy my breath into these bones and see what happens. And then he describes what he's going to do. You know, God is intimate. God is intricate. How he says he pieces every single one together uniquely. It's a bit graphic. If you I'm a bit squeamish, so you know, when they did those, we had to dissect a frog in science. I may or may not have wagged, sorry, mum and dad. But seeing those images, the intricacy weaving together, Psalm 139, I knit you in your mother's womb. Or Jeremiah 1:5, before you were formed, I knew you. He put that all together. And at the end, he didn't create the same version of everyone else. It wasn't like iRobot that everyone looked exactly the same. But uniquely, you were created uniquely. Each and every one of you, uniquely. What you see is your weakness. He has graced you to be your strength. Uniquely created. We are children of God, not slaves. Children carry the DNA of the parents, which is why I have my mum's good looks. Hallelujah. And my dad's surname, praise God. You're a good looking man too. I love you. Which is why the Spirit could empower Ezekiel to speak. And yet so many opportunities pass us by because we sit idle. The vision that God casts for us is beautiful, but it counts for nothing if we don't step out and declare what God has said. You know, I once heard it said, I haven't got this in my notes either, but I once heard it said, you know, the graveyards are the most saddest places because that's so many places where visions went to die because people sat and did nothing. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ezekiel obeyed and he prophesied. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he just said it. Thus says the Lord, exactly what he said. Then all of a sudden, there was a rattling. There was a stirring. There was a shaking. Church, can I suggest that when the word of God is spoken with authority, things shift, atmospheres change. The seemingly impossible becomes possible. No, not because of the gift of a person, but because of the power of God through his chosen vessel. Come on, God deserves more praise than that. Again, I love the way the Faith Study Bible puts it. Yahweh did not need Ezekiel's participation to achieve the outcome he desired, but he involved Ezekiel anyway, testing his faith and obedience and using him to accomplish his will. The bones were restored. The flesh, the sinews, the skin, they were restored to people. What was dead and scattered was now brought back together, but yet it was still incomplete. Why? Because there was no breath in it. Can I propose that many of us, and this was going to cut deep for us that have been Christians for a long time. Can I propose that many of us are in the position of these people? No longer scattered, abandoned, or lost, but lifeless beings because we allowed the Holy Spirit to just pass us by. We refuse to allow the Ruah, the Pneuma, to come into our hearts, or we stopped breathing and seeking him a long time ago. Do you know, there is no better group of people for the devil than lifeless Christians because they've already accepted and believe. But they've stopped stepping out to declare. They stopped believing that he can move. His biggest one are unbelieving people because when they catch the fire of God, they go out. And I say this not to judge or condemn because in a moment I'm going to share something very personal, but each and every one of us was called to flourish, not just simply exist. Think about your context. I asked the question before, why do you come to church? Ask a different question. In your sphere of influence, if we told people in your world that you're a believer, would they say, yeah, I see that? Or would they laugh? You know, it was once a day that people would laugh at me because my testimony didn't point back to God. We were called to flourish, not simply exist. Now, flourishing doesn't mean that everything's good. This is often like a gospel that can be preached, the prosperity gospel. Prosperity in Jesus doesn't mean you get whatever you want, whenever you want it, however you want it. Lord, I will give my $100 in the tithe. Next week, I expect $1,000 in my bank, Lord. That's not. Jesus is like, that's cute. I gave my life for you. Okay, God, I'll come back. What flourishing means is that in all seasons, it is good because he is good. And his breath in my lungs where there is faith, there is hope, there is love, there is God, there is his breath. It means that no matter what, as Paul said, the Apostle Paul, you know, we were broken, crushed, destroyed, abandoned, but yet there he still was, praising God. That in a prison cell with shackles on his arms, they're just praising God, and those chains broke. The circumstance doesn't determine our posture when you understand it. You've got the Spirit of God in your heart. His breath is within us, almost complete. It could have been easy for the Holy Spirit to take over from here, and yet he didn't. You know, he could have just gone, all right, you've done good. You've done good, Ezekiel. You've done good, Zeke. Let me take it from here, son. No, once again, he tells him in verse 9 and 10, prophesy my breath. God entrusted his spirit to Ezekiel to prophesy. Because the Ruah, the Pneuma, is the Holy Spirit. So he tells Ezekiel, prophesy my spirit into these bones, into these bodies now. And so once again, he empowers Ezekiel to prophesy over lifeless things. The Holy Spirit today wants to empower us to prophesy into the lifeless things. You know, I wasn't going to share this, but felt the Lord this morning just prompt it. September the 8th, 2014. You know, many of you have heard my story. If you knew, you wouldn't have heard this before. That was the day, funnily enough, that our baby Ezekiel was meant to be born into this world. 2 days after, I think it was a couple of days after Father's Day. But on the 14th of February, where there was life, there was lifeless. We lost our baby. And so I remember with an anxiety, such a heavy anxiety, because that was a Father's Day service. That was my first year on staff. I fell in a deep depression. I didn't eat for weeks, which, as you know, by looking at that, it's a miracle in itself. Sorry, in hard things, I love humor. Gets me by. So I went for 1 hour to the service because it was my role. I remember telling my oversight, I can't be here, and I left. I didn't walk. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't walk back into church as a pastor until the 27th of September, 2014. We used to have 5 p.m. services at our city location. And I remember I was that lifeless person. This was me on the front row. Mind you, we had to sit on the front row. Stand up already. I've got to go. Oh, she's singing that song again. Are you serious? I don't want to be here. Sonia, I don't want to be here. Sonia, I don't want to be here. God doesn't love me anyway. If he loved me, I'd have Ezekiel. I'd be celebrating my Father's Day, first Father's Day. Pouring it out. But then the song came on, and I'm not prompting the band to sing this, so don't. But if you do, do it. But I'm not prompting it. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. And there was a bridge in that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And my heart broke. And where I found myself apathetically sitting down, I found myself at the altar, letting go of my hurt and pain, my disappointment, my perceived shame, my heartbreak, leaving it on the altar saying, God, today I choose to follow you. For the times that people said they would be there for me and they weren't, I choose to follow you. For the times that I thought I'd have my baby and it's not here, I choose to follow you. And I was crying. I didn't care what people thought, what people said. But it was in that moment, I take what has left me lifeless, God, and I bring it to you because only you can breathe your spirit into me. The story doesn't end there. That week, I had no idea, we had a guest minister and his name was Pastor David McCracken. Those that know David McCracken know that his son Steve has come and ministered here before. They just carry a prophetic grace. And he gets up and he says, like what we did before, we've got a few words for people. This young man with your orange hat, that was me. Don't ever wear things to stand out. I thought, oh no. I'm going to read you word for word what he said. So we'll be here for another 2 hours. No, I'm joking. Another minute. And then I'm going to invite the band. David looking at me. He doesn't know me. He said, I saw you in a mixture of singing and weeping over dry places. desert, rocks, absolutely desolate places. You were there pouring out love and compassion, an amazing stream of compassion. And it should be known at that point, I was just an assistant pastor looking after interns. And where there was no chance of anything growing, your tears, love, and compassion were touching the ground, transforming it, and seeds that were there, that nobody knew were there, were bursting into life. And now I don't know who you are, but I believe God is going to give you an incredible chance to bring life out in people that are so barren that no one would think they would live again. I look around. I look around at people that have walked through these doors that have said to me, I don't know if I can trust you. I was hurt in church. I look around and I see people that will never serve again, now serving on our teams. Why? Because the breath of God in me inspired in me to prophesy life over everyone. Many of us want the word before we receive. I didn't know I was going to get a word. I just wanted to receive God. And my heart breaks every week when I come and I see this. Why? Because you were called for more. For me, at that moment in time, yes, my faith was rocked. But can I suggest our rocked faith doesn't intimidate God? Ezekiel going, look, I don't know, only you know God. It didn't intimidate God. He trusted him anyway. Going to invite the band to come up. God's intention is for all of us to receive his Holy Spirit. Now hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that means you've all got to be life group leaders tomorrow. You've all got to be on team tomorrow. If you've been around us long enough, you know God is the one that arranges the parts of the body. But what I am saying is, if you're just shutting out, why are you here? We want you here, but why? God has called you for so much more. I see people, and again, I'm going to look down because I don't want people to think I'm looking at them. I see people that once were flourishing in ministry just come in and go and not even say hi to anyone. This is a hard word, church. Many of us come, we want to hear the feel-good word, but this is the word of the Lord. Why? Because he's done it in me first. Out of COVID, I didn't want to walk through these doors because every conversation was something that I had done or not done. Oh, you believe in this? I don't know what I believe in. I didn't want to walk through those doors. But God said, whose breath are you carrying, my son? Are you carrying my heart? Are you carrying your heart of apathy? Or are you carrying my heart to bring revival? God has called us to be alive, not just survive. He calls us to be a mouthpiece, not just a spectator. Many of us have stayed silent and content because someone else offended me, and yet that person doesn't even know. People are probably like, man, it would have been good if Layla was here. She's a weapon. She probably would have been more intense anyway. I'm not that scary if you knew, I promise. The commentator, John Taylor, again, puts it again like this. Notice that throughout his vision, Ezekiel has acted under orders and has even described his own implicit obedience to God's commands. In so doing, he emphasizes that this work of revival is God's work from start to finish. If man plays any part in it himself, it's only in obedience to God's direction. The same can be said of man's contribution to any spiritual revival. Revival is not a formula. We don't sit in our fivefold meetings and go, how are we going to concoct revival today? We just pray, God, come. Just come. It's not a service flow. And I've shared this with people before, like the guys, when they rehearse, I think today, technically the worship time is meant to go for like 28 minutes. I want to be specific. Went for an hour. Why? Because we don't follow a service flow. We follow the Holy Spirit. God calls us to obedience first to God's word in our lives, then through our lives. And so here we see that the result was an army that was alive. There is an army that God wants to bring back to life. but not an army the way that the world sees it. Not a combative, judgmental group of people that go and tell everyone who can come into heaven or hell. But like Levi, I was going to point to him, but he's not there anymore. He's somewhere. Like Levi shared with the woman caught in adultery, he's called us to be an army that brings love revival. You are not the sum of the heartbreak that you've had or the sum of the mistakes you had. Go and sin no more. We won't judge you. God loves you. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. Too many of us have taken the mantle of, I've got to change them. No, only the Holy Spirit can convict. But it starts in us to bring His kingdom. Can I invite us to stand? Verse 11 to 14. I'm going to invite us just to close our eyes. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place in you your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What's that got to do with anything? Well, I felt the Lord say, that's a word for us today. Many of us are lifeless. But the Lord wants to pour His Spirit in you today, renewing you life and purpose. So Lord, we just pray right now. What's holding us back, Lord? Why are we here, Lord? So wherever you are, you don't have to speak it out loud. God hears your heart. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why? Because, Lord, in my brokenness, in my barrenness, you gave me life. In the moments that I doubted you, Lord, you comforted me. You didn't demand for me to be better before you would receive me, Lord. You called me up and you entrusted me. I didn't know this is what it was going to lead to. I was just happy that it brought life back to me. And so, Lord, right now I pray for each and every one of us, whatever our posture is, would we open up our hearts to you, God? We're going to worship in a moment. And I did this last week, and in all honesty, I thought I'd see more people come up. But I love that our God is always inviting. I believe that there are many of us that are carrying something that we need to exchange for the fullness of who God is. Some it's shame, disappointment, guilt, hurt, pain. We don't need to know. I don't need to know. I'm not even going to invite the prayer team up. But I believe today is a very significant moment. There is no coincidence that literally 2 minutes after I woke up from my little nap with God, Sonia's like, oh no, Layla can't come Sunday. Like, oh, Lord, there's no coincidence in your times or your plans. There are things that I need to surrender at the altar too. And so again, I believe there is something significant in coming up and just worshiping God. We're going to have the lights off. No one needs to see you. But I really believe that the exchange is going to take place. What you leave at the altar, God's going to restore. God's going to bring His breath. If you do want prayer, maybe we'll have the teams on the sides. But I believe it's a very intimate and private moment. Let's not be proud, church. Let's not doubt, church. And if I'm the only one up here, then so be it. Maybe I'm the only one that needs to surrender something. But I refuse to believe that. For some, I believe, and again, I'm just going to linger in this. I'm not necessarily asking you to reconnect to this church. For some of you, it might actually be it's time. God's calling you somewhere else. And that's okay. Like when Elijah was at the brook and it ran dry, he had to go somewhere else. Or you're visiting from another church, that's your somewhere else. Beautiful. Pneuma Church is not the only church. But there are not enough churches out there. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to invite us. If I'm the only one here, so be it, to come on up and take that step of faith. And I finish with this thought. Again, just a reminder date, because many of us want a quick fix. The 27th of September, 2014, and here I am preaching this message, 9 years and almost 2 months to the day. I didn't know it was going to look like this. So if you do come up, don't try to fill in the gaps for God. I didn't know it was going to mean that I was going to lead a church. I had no idea. If you told me it would be, I would have run away because I didn't want to be a pastor. Being honest, love you guys. I love being a pastor. But so I'm going to open up the altars. If you want to encounter God and you want to surrender something at the altar, don't sit back. But only time if you trust what God wants to do. Let's worship.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.